reading, and thank you all for coming out to the Triangle of Obsession meeting. Self-obsession. All right. I'm nervous, too. Okay, I'm going to introduce our speaker now. We have a real treat tonight, Tammy C.C.
My name is Sam McGray for coming at it. And this was Peg's first first time chairing a meeting at a convention. Can we give her great job? I'm having problems with the things close to my mouth, though. I'm trying to tell y'all. I'm having problems. I'm sorry, sponsees. Y'all know how I am, though. It's just a little bit much. Put you in remembrance of some things. Well, thank you. Listen, it's good to laugh in recovery. Laughter is good for the soul. I want to thank my good friend and little brother, Wim, for calling me and for the convention body believing in him to be able to obtain a second speaker for this workshop. My plans on coming here was to relax, not come to the convention, and stay in my room. It's a lot of things going on in my life, and I just want to just say that I've been clean since May 20th, 1989, and I haven't had any excuse to go back out and pick up a drug. Yeah, y'all can clap for that. Absolutely. Because when you clap for me, you're clapping for yourself if you're still here. You know what I mean? But I've had many excuses to pick up people, places, and things. Clothes, new hairdos, gain weight, eat all the food. See?
The new style is fat.
But thank God that when using becomes an option, that there's something to fall back on, such as the steps, sponsorship, meetings, you know, old tapes, you know, when tapes were in. You know what I mean? I got a whole row of tapes from way back when that still carry the same message that we hear today. You know, and I believe in our message that we're asked to carry. I want to, how much time I have? Because I just need to know, because I got to leave room for him. Great, thank you. Because there's a lot going to be said, because God has been talking to me about a lot of different things, and I'm here to free myself, and hopefully somebody else to be freed. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, I like to go to my favorite tradition, which is the fifth tradition, you know, so we don't have to be confused about, you know, what I am going to do at this moment that y'all have called me to share. It says that what is our message that we're asked to carry? Groups carry the message of NA hope and freedom from active addiction. This message may be voiced in many ways. Sometimes we simply share that if we won't use any drugs, we won't get loaded. Other members share that they have found satisfying, productive lives in recovery. Sometimes the message we share is that even though life may be painful, we can stay clean. That we can stay clean through the midst of the storms. You know, through the trials, through the divorces. You know what I mean? Through the ending of relationships. Through changing in sponsorship. You know, in friendships. You know, in jobs. You know what I mean? That even though it may feel painful that we don't have to use, that we can stay clean and weather the storm. You know, I have been going through a lot, and I am just so grateful for the people who love me unconditionally. See, being around the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous for the length of time that I've been here, you know, it, you know, sometimes people don't still come and tell the exact nature about what's going on with them. They be running around, you know, the mulberry bush trying to catch something, and ain't nobody understanding what they really talking about, right? So I just want to put it all out here for me, right? Listen, I am in the process of a divorce. I have tried, and there's nothing wrong with the man. Has everything to do with my inability now no longer to want to participate. You know, and one of the things that I understand in this process called recovery is you can't blame people, places, or things for the condition of your life. You got to take a realistic look at why you do what you do, right? So the topic for this meeting is triangle of self-obsession. You know, and part of it talks about that our needs became demands. Right? And like when our needs become demands, you know, we sometimes become blinded by what we think we want. And sometimes get sidetracked and be caught up in the illusion of what seems to appear to be real. Only to find ourselves trying to live in a world that is non-existing. Only because we all haven't done the work to be in a proper place to receive and to give what we're supposed to do in that type of entity. So, like, one of the things that I'm real in touch with is that, you know, I married this brother, you know, on the cuff of coming out of another situation, right? Like, I was in the process of. I was in the process of moving from, you know, being in ministry to being with women, you know, and the reality of it is for me, when I take my own inventory, I was looking for the ideal situation. The brother was decent in his own right, but yet I had a new plan, a new objective. I had a new 12-step program that I wanted him to follow. See, because you got to tell your own truth, right? And sometimes when people are in a position, ain't nothing wrong. I just want to be clear in this message that I'm asked to carry today. It ain't nothing wrong with him. He's right where he's supposed to be. But it's something wrong with me when I begin to try to extract something from an unwilling participant. Sometimes when people are unable to be in a proper position to give that which you so desire because they haven't grown to that place yet, you begin to harm other people as a result of your self-centeredness. You cause harm and wind up being harmed. And want to be a victim. I tell my spices, ain't no victims here. See, true step work means you take a realistic look at who you are and how you operate. My hair is all natural, ain't no perm in this. It's going to be a power puff in a few seconds, so listen. I'm just going to work it out right now. We ain't got to do all that, right? Put the rubber band on it, and if it become puff puff, so well be it, right? So I'm in touch with that trying to extract something. You begin to create harm not only to yourself, but everybody that you come in contact with, because it says when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And sometimes the teacher appears before the student and you find yourself being abused because you're trying to force a situation that ain't supposed to be. Looking at my own work, I realize that in this situation, I caused a lot of harm. Right? So looking at my work and looking at the fact that I caused a lot of harm, I understand that harm has been caused to me too. See, in the ninth step, it talks about, you know, like we owe amends to those that also who have harmed us. And in the process of forgiveness, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be in a proper place to bring about forgiveness for the things that you've done to them. They may not be ready yet. And because somebody else ain't ready yet doesn't mean that you don't keep doing the work that you need to do. But let's talk about the triangle of self-obsession. Let's talk about the vicious cycle of going back time and time again, trying to extract something that ain't there. Trying to extract it, trying to make it be, trying to force a solution. All in the name of the entity. Praying, fasting, humbling myself, being freaking submissive, trying to like do everything. I'm not sharing at the podium no more about what's really going on. I'm being like, share around about the thing. I'm sharing around about because I don't want to cause harm, because the microphone can be a harmful situation too. So I'm trying to be mindful about what I say. So I go through the journey of like being mindful, and I go through the journey of like sitting back and being humble and not talking. Only to find myself back in a fetal position. In a fetal position of like trying one more time, only to find myself feeling abused again. Abuse ain't necessarily physical. When somebody extracts their love from you, when they stop, when somebody just begins to shut down, withdraw themselves from you, and you still sit and wait, humbly, you call yourself being humble. No, you waiting on the fantasy to become alive again. I'm trying to tell the truth about me. Listen, I'm trying to tell you that I've sustained abuse going back and forth, not about him. See, what I'm in touch with is that things are triggering a lot of things for me right now. And I'm telling you, listen, I don't like a lot of loud noise. I don't like people like approaching me a certain kind of way. You know what I mean? If you upset, you need to handle it in a different manner. You need to take it down. You need to do something else. Because guess what? Everything in me, because the girl that I live with inside of me wants to take a nigger out from the stuff that she's allowed to happen to her. Allowed to happen. See, it's something about when it just happens to you. You know, it's something about when it just happens. But it's something about when you become the victim of your own stuff. No longer blaming people, places, and things for the condition. Because I kept going back as a hope fiend. They say one is too many, a thousand never enough. Still trying. I can't even find a darn pamphlet of triangle self-obsession. I had it all outlined and every goddamn thing. Listen, but I'm really in touch with, you know what I mean? That girl who grew up, her needs became demands on others, only to find herself in a position of going through the steps to realize that, listen, you know, contentment and fulfillment don't come from outside of you. It comes from within. And you got to get into a posture of receiving God's grace and mercy. You know what I mean? You got to get in a posture of, like, understanding whose you are, not whom you are. Because whom you are doesn't matter. It matters about whose you are. And like understanding that I'm God's child and knowing that he didn't design my world like this. See, I begin to direct my own freaking movie. And when you begin to direct your own movie, man, you harm yourself and others. Every- everybody that come in alignment becomes suspect, just like you caught up in active addiction. So I've been in this marriage for 5 years. In and out. He leave, I take him back. I go get him. He ain't using. I go get him because I just believe that just maybe if I just turn it this way, if I just turn it that way, if I just maybe organize it just a little bit, if I just make it be all right, like just maybe it'll work. Only to find myself one more time. Listen, you go from self-esteem, because I had low self-esteem when I got here. I gained some self-esteem. I gained some. It had elevated to a degree where I felt confident and secure with inside myself. But when you begin to damage the little girl all over again without the drug, without the drug, man, without the drug, you begin to dwindle down just like that, and no longer can you blame. It ain't the drug, it's the circumstance and situation that you continue to participate in only to look like it appears to be happy. So, police call. Y'all know I like police chasing and, you know, running people over with cars and things like that. You know what I mean? I run a nigga over in a minute. Shoot him up, bang, bang. You know what I mean? What? Shoot him up, bang. Right, Lisa? We ride or die, right? This one time I found out that somebody was allegedly pregnant by him during one of the breakups. It devastated me so bad that, you know, I was no longer going to accept unacceptable behavior. You know, we tell ourselves all this good googly stuff, right? So I go get a new player. I pull out my player card. I start playing the game too. Last year, this time I was with a new boo. Mm-hmm. I was. Truth be told, this year I'm with a new boo too. Truth be told, right? But last year this time I was in a new boo, but that boo had somebody else too. So you look at the esteem. You look at like what you really working with. Still nothing wrong with the people. You got to take a look at what's going on inside of you that you continue to put yourself in compromising situations to settle one more time for less. Again, nothing wrong with the people. Got to take a realistic look at self and what self keep doing to self as a result of trying to extract something that you can't find outside of you. You got to go into a place with God to realize that he is your only truly strength. He's the only one. He'll provide somebody to enhance what you already have. He ain't going to provide somebody to give you all that you don't have. If you don't got it, that means that the person that you're trying to hook up with, they got to be all the way up to here, doing everything right, every goddamn day, or your life is miserable. That's a high freaking stake to probably carry for some goddamn body, especially dope fiends like us. We ain't consistent. That's too high, man. We gonna fall short. And when you fall short, and I think you're supposed to be all the way up there, I probably try to cut you or something, you know what I mean? Because my whole illusion has been shattered. I'm talking real, right? So like I'm going through the situation with the husband. And like the girl allegedly said she's pregnant. People know that I've always been trying to get pregnant. That thing devastated me. It took everything out of me, so I pull out my player card. I'm hanging with the new boo. walking around all loved up, forcing the love to be shown to people. You hear me? Forcing the love to be shown to people so that people can see I'm happy. But my spirit was broken. Your spirit still be broken in the midst of doing something that you think is right, but it's wrong. Like I couldn't pray no more. I couldn't go to the place that I worship, the God that I serve. I couldn't do the things that he called me to do because I was all messed up spiritually. We have a spiritual condition that needs to be checked. It's spiritual in nature that we're dealing with. It ain't this, and the behaviors becomes as a direct result of what we think, what we believe. It says that addicts tend to live what they believe. So I had to send that man back to his wife. It's the truth. And they doing wonderful in their marriage. I am ecstatic and overwhelmed and overjoyed that they're doing wonderful. Because guess what? I would have hated for that to be on me. You understand what I'm saying? When you mess with other people's people like that, you know what I mean? There's a price to pay. Right? So it may not be, you may not feel it. You know, you might be rolling around, chilling, acting like it's all good. You know what I mean? But spiritually, it's a waxing. And I got waxed. And the wax made me go back one more time to the man that I was married to. Still looking. Still searching. Still hoping. Only to find that it was over a long time ago. Because the reality of it is, if two people ain't walking together, it's nothing. If two people ain't walking in agreement, it's nothing. And how can, you can't walk in agreement if one thought is somewhere else and the other one thought is so. If your vision ain't right here, walking in alignment, it's over. But I tried, and I freaking tried, and I freaking tried, and the women that I sponsor know, and my sponsor know that I tried everything that I could to try to make it work. And like, listen, even when I had contemplations of like moving forward, listen, I was like, listen, I just need to go back. I just need to go try one more time. I'm just going to be quiet. I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to voice. Because I'm loud. I say what's on my mind. I'm a black woman. Power. You know what I mean? I say what I mean and mean what I say, but I try not to say it mean, but it still didn't matter. So I felt like I needed to shut myself down in order to fit into this puzzle. And when I tried to fit into the puzzle, it still didn't matter. It still wasn't enough. And like it tore me apart that I was trying so hard to fit somewhere when I no longer fit. Have you ever been somewhere that you no longer fit? Still trying to make it be something that it really isn't anymore. Listen, it's a painful thing to like realize that you still love somebody, but they don't have the ability to love you the way that you need to be loved. Not that they don't love you. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I had some good people working with me. You know, you get some people in recovery. They the recovery marriage counselors and stuff like that. they the bomb, you know what I mean? Then you try to live and walk this walk with them like they walking, and you say, listen, well, we realize it in recovery, like, what may work for you may not work for me. And it's okay. And like, you can't live up to other people's expectations. So like on a last in and out situation with them, you know, I was surrendering, you know, but something about the disease that I suffer from, it said, listen, when you go do this one this time, you're not going to be sitting still. You ain't going to be sitting still long. I used to be the girl to say, next. Ain't nothing wrong with saying next. Ain't nothing wrong with saying next. But it's something wrong if you ain't healing and dealing in your next. So, like, I'm in the process of, like, still grieving what I thought I had. I'm still in the process of dealing with the fact that I'm no longer connected to these children that I've been connected to for 5 years. Like, I'm still dealing with, like, my name is still such and such, right? And I'm still dealing with, like, the attachments to, like, the name, to the things, to the insurances, you know what I mean? To the Y membership, you know what I mean? You know, to all the things, you know what I mean, that you've been connected with for 5 years. You know, it's a grieving process when stuff come up. Like, you can't act like it don't exist. And, like, if you're in a relationship moving on with somebody that ain't going to allow you the process of dealing with the truth right now, you probably don't need to be with them. Because I can't shut it down now, right? And what I'm in touch with is that, listen, I'm messed up. I'm messed up. I'm not messed up about what they did. I'm messed up. The triangle of self-obsession deals with resentment, anger, and fear. Right? I'm talking about dealing with the fact that I resent myself for continuing to live the same way that I was living for 5 years. See, I'm angry with myself for accepting unacceptable behavior and trying to call it something else. See, I'm angry with me. And, like, the fear was, like, I'll never find somebody to love me for who I am, all that I am. So, like, you stay in a cycle only because you don't believe. You don't believe that the possibility could be. And then when you get in a humble place, when your butt's been waxed, I'm telling you, when your butt's been waxed, and like there's no more, you might say, God, please help me. Help me to help myself. Because it ain't about what you can do for me. It's about what I need to do for myself in the midst of this turning process. Because I still love the man that I get ready to be divorced with. But I don't love him enough to stay with him. So you can love people. See, the thing that the disease of addiction, and sometimes the naysayers in recovery say, when you break up, you're supposed to be all mean and vicious and all hateful. And I don't believe in that. See, the recovery process teaches me that I can still love you, and I ain't got to hate you for the things that we've been through. I got to understand that, guess what? It just didn't work. It just didn't work, man. And, like, I have to give myself freedom to heal and to move forward and to trust that God has provided me a new Boaz. People think that you can't have something moving while you're in the process of healing. See, I don't believe that. I believe that if you're really in a posture of, like, allowing God to love on you, like, he'll present it right to you. Now, when he presents it to you, just got to be in the right place to receive it. And sometimes, you know, because I've been so messed up, that I don't really know how to accept all of it. You know what I mean? Like, it feel like too good to be freaking true some days. When you can have have good communication, when you're able to talk to somebody about everything and not have to like sugarcoat it, not try to flip it, try to make it seem all nice and pretty in a nice package so you can see the delivery is good so that they can okay it. You're able to just give it to them. So I'm in that place and I'm just saying, God, listen, do with me as you will, you know, and I am allowing love to penetrate my soul. Love penetrating the soul means that I'm not accepting unacceptable behavior from nobody. No friends. Nobody. If something feel like abuse, you gotta go. I'm not saying you boo are abusive. I'm just saying it feel like it because I've been dealing with it for 5 years. It ain't got nothing to do with you. I'm just talking about what I'm trying to heal from. And when I'm trying to heal from a thing like some things that's triggered those things, listen, I gotta acknowledge what they are. Then I gotta let you know I can't do this because it resembles something. And like, I don't want to go to jail either. Clean. Because the disease that I suffer from, and she gave me the 5 minute, the disease that I suffer from will tell me, sneak them. It don't say walk up to them. Sneak them. And guess what? It ain't got nothing to do with them. It don't be, listen, you got to understand what I'm saying. It don't be having nothing to do with them. But the behavior will seem so familiar and similar that you'll want to get somebody for all that you've allowed yourself to go through. Ain't got nothing to do with that person. So if you're in the mix of something like that, just check yourself. I'm healing. The tears are healing for me. They're letting go. They're happiness. They're all inclusive. I love y'all. Thanks for letting me share.
Wonderful. It's time for our second speaker, William S.
Magnay William. Here through God's grace and God's mercy. Look, I am really excited to be here. You understand? And I love Tammy so much. You understand? And sometimes the reason why you connect with people is you find out how in love you are with your friends is when you go through a thing. And then what happens is that you start to, like, when your spirit starts to settle, it kind of settles like a water level type of piece. And what you do is you start surrounding yourself with people who are kind of on, like, that same level. So look. So she said that the five-year thing, right, and I'm not going, because you can't kind of, like, start over after that. You know what I mean? You got to just kind of jump on this. I'm going to jump on in the fucking double dutch right where she left off, right? Just do this. We ain't got a whole lot of time to be wasting. It's probably some dancing and all that good shit to do tonight. I'm going to share, and then we the fuck out. All right. So she's talking about 5 years in the triangle. She said like 5 years or so, 8 years, I find out that I'm in the same similar situation, and I'm wholly in love. Look, I don't understand if you understand the kind of love I was in, and maybe you think that, like, women are the only ones that are, like, maybe growing up and fantasizing about that wonderful day. So I'm going to tell you that my wonderful day was that I was never happier or more in love than I was when I was standing at the end of the aisle and that person was coming down the aisle. And the whole idea, right, the whole idea that they had said yes, and all the fantasy stuff that went along and was associated with them saying yes. And then they finally, the day came, and I was so in love. And so when you're so in love, you have a tendency to, like, overlook everything. So you're not really listening, because none of that really matters, is what I'm saying. Because when your heart is involved, you can't even, like, logically see stuff that makes sense, because you all listen, maybe you don't know that it's a difference between, you know, logical and emotional, and you know what I mean? And maybe you might not know that there's a difference between getting honest and telling the truth, because they're not even related. They're not. You could get honest all you want and tell no truths. They're not even kissing cousins and shit. They ain't even the same family. One of them don't even got to be at the house. So you're there, and because this what happens, is you get to a certain level in your spirit and a certain level of mental maturity, and you start to grow in this process, and then you get the things that come as a result of, like, becoming a better you, and people become attracted to that, and you start interconnecting with people, and you start creating bonds and stuff as a result of that. And then what happens is something happens and it becomes so devastating, and so you reach out to your peers and you share the thing, the exact nature of the thing with them, and you say how devastated you are, and then he tell you some crafty shit like it's none of your fucking business. Now maybe you ain't get that, but I'm saying, like, if something, you with somebody and something happened and you don't really, like, know how to deal with that shit, and so you think you should fucking sneak them too, and but you don't hit women anymore, and I'm saying I gotta say anymore, because the last time I was with somebody and they did the, you know, rip the shirt off thing, and I choked the shit out of them at the registration table at the convention, and then I shared the next night on Loving You or Losing Me to a standing room crowd of motherfuckers who love to hear other people's drama. I'm saying, like, you know, you can get in some sick situations and stuff, and people will connect with you based on your sick situation to rationalize their sick situation to say that your shit is a little worse off than their raggedy-ass shit. We all fucked up kicking back and forth the same bad information and staying sick. So it was none of my business. Just like it's not personal if I happen to sponsor a man and he decides that using becomes a good idea or an option for him, and he goes back out and then he finds his way back, and that loving spirit that we have that will allow them right back, and will embrace them with everything that this fellowship has to offer, but let you be in a relationship with me. And then you do something. It don't really matter what the something is. You can just imagine it to be whatever will fuck your world up. Imagine it to be the thing that'll cripple you. Absolutely. That I had you balled up in tears. And somebody says it's none of your business. So then we jump all the way to the six-step thing and said that we should be able to see ourselves coming. And so we had this really crafty thing, and my friend always calls stuff crafty, so I'm just going to use that. We have this crafty stuff, and the way we put layers on top of layers is we'll say that you could be walking down the street and then something will jump out the bushes on you to stick you up, and you find out that the thing that jumped out the bushes is you. The problem with the thing jumping out the bushes in order to stick you up, yes, it's you, but it's the old you. And the old you is jumping out the bushes to stick up the new you.
That's right.
So the old you got intentions on taking some stuff that works for you in the here and now that you decided doesn't have the same value as you should. So maybe you're not making meetings. Maybe you're not calling your sponsor. Maybe you're not working steps. So the old you jump out the bushes and steals the freedom that you got that you work for in the here and now. The problem with that is that the old you don't have no way of using the shit that you use in the here and now back then. So you no longer have the valuable tool that you had clean now, and the old you can't even use what the fuck it took from you.
It's true.
Now you're here, and you're trying to deal with that stuff. So now the anger and the resentment and stuff that you got, first off, then look, I don't know about you, I was mad at everybody.
I know that's right.
fuck the whole area. Because they chose sides and shit, and I got a little more clean time, so automatically they decided that it had to be something I had fucking done, and I hadn't done shit. And if they would at least ask me, they would have knew I hadn't done shit. And so I started to judge them, and I was hurt when it wasn't. I was hurt on the inside because they never gave me a fucking shot. They said Wim is all right because Wim can share and shit, and he got all his friends and stuff, so he got somewhere to get some help. But Wim was fucked up on the inside. So I was hurting. So I was angry because I was hurting because I couldn't choke all them motherfuckers. It would have been all right if it was just one of them. I'll choke the shit out of any one motherfucker. But it was a whole bunch of them. So I was hurting. And I didn't know how to get free. And I wanted to go back because I thought that y'all said that that we look, because what happens when we go through the process of step multiples of times is that the first time we go through it really just gives us an ability to identify who we are and what we're working with. But usually the second time we try to become the thing that everybody else says would be a good idea for us. So what happens is we'll fold the paper in the sixth step and we'll put all the shit that we are, and then on the other side we'll put all the shit that everybody else thinks we should be. And then we'll work to become that thing, never truly accepting who we really are. With years of clean time. You got a couple tapes and shit. Sharing your ass off. Couple flights and shit. But you still screwed up on the inside. So I was hurt. I didn't know what to do, and I didn't have the thing. And look, I found out, man, that what I become dependent on wasn't really about the person. I really wasn't dependent on the person. I was dependent on the situation. And so what happens is that we fall in love with the ideal. And then when the ideal no longer serves us, then the same thing that happens in the literature where it says that at some point a lot of us develop the ability to grow up and mature and realize that there's something that you can do outside of the ideal. A lot of us get stuck in the ideal and won't leave the ideal, and we'll camp out outside the door of the ideal, and the ideal's closed the fucking door, and the ideal's got somebody new already and shit, and you're still outside camping the fuck out, and you don't see that there's light at the end of the hallway because you just want the ideal. The triangle ain't really just about all that nonsense. We're not here to talk about, you know, what it was like, you know, the first days you got clean. This is some shit we experienced with 18 years. And so you want to go back, but you don't want to go back. And you know you don't want it no more. And you fucking had the courage to leave and shit. And you don't really know if it's a good idea. But your peers are telling you you really fucked up. So you think maybe you should go back because you don't want to lose all the friendships until you realize that they really ain't your friend any fucking way. But none of that takes away the hurt that you feel. And so you're running around in a hurt posture and stuff, and you're maintaining the hurt, and you're trying to find a way to get free, and you don't really know how to get free, and so you do little silly stuff that worked in the beginning, and so you go try to find like that sad movie or something, because you think if you can maybe like find some kind of way to let a couple tears out or something, or whatever, it just don't fucking work. The Titanic movie don't work no more. I used that one already, and you know, I can pass it forward and shit, and you know, when a man love a woman and shit, I'm telling you, I got a fucking list. And I don't expect that I'm going to just be free when I let this stuff out. I think that it's going to give me enough relief to maintain my focus so I can continue to do what I need to do to attain the freedom that I'm seeking in the here and now. The same freedom that the old me stuck me up for. And that's what happens here and now with the obsession and the compulsion and being trapped. The smallest sentence in our literature talks about we get sicker. It didn't have a clean time requirement on getting sicker. It didn't say if you sponsor enough folk, got the best home group in Narcotics Anonymous, are part of the best area and shit, got the best fucking sponsor, and sponsees are wonderful. You ain't exempt. The problem is that we get in here and then we start following people who don't have the ability to tell us what's really going on. So what happens, we got a whole lot of blind folk leading around a bunch of other blind folk. And then we got experienced members taking information to keep it hostage from the newcomers and then don't realize that they ain't nothing more than a fucking terrorist and shit. And then you want to get pissed at the newcomer who ain't working and shit. Like, look, let's take the temperature real quick. If the newcomers in your area ain't calling their sponsor, if the newcomers in your area ain't getting in service, don't come to meetings with their leaders, if the newcomers in your area don't raise their hand and get honest and shit, then you ain't doing shit because newcomers do what they see, not what you tell them. We could probably lose half of the room. I know you'll be all fucked up. I won't mess with you. You can get up and leave if you're really fucked up about that. Nah, because this is a workshop. So I got stuck. And I couldn't get free. Y'all. And I wanted to do stuff, and I wanted to get involved in stuff, and I wanted to create the new relationships, and I wanted to do this stuff and connect with people that could help lead me out of it, but I couldn't. And it talks about, and the fear says we become so afraid of being hurt that or maybe just having the feeling feel too intensely, so we live a sort of half-life, growing through the motions of living but never fully being alive. And so what you find is that you get in relationships, but not all the way. Because there's a warped sense of thinking that says that if you can half-ass get into a thing and it don't work out, that you won't hurt as intensely as if you, listen, if you ain't clapping, the people that's clapping that's the ones that did that shit, I'm saying. It says we're afraid of being alone, so we use and exploit others to avoid feeling lonely or rejected or abandoned. So we don't want to get left out there by ourselves. So what we do is we extract commitments from new victims. And we really don't care how much clean time you got, and you could be recovering your ass off and you can have 30 years clean and shit, but if I'm hurting enough. And so what happens is I find a way to stay away from everybody, and everybody just stay away, and I'm just going to do my thing, and I'm going to run around, and I'm just going to try to enjoy life and just do me because I don't want to cause any harm. And I put this fucking wall up and shit, and I'm not letting anybody in and shit for real. You know what I mean? And I get people in my life, and I get that somebody, and the expectation is the same, because if they don't do everything exactly right every fucking day, then I'm ready to fucking bounce. Every day. And then I become nasty and stuff. But the nastiness is not about them. The nastiness is about my discomfort. I feel so bad. I got some shame going on. I'm so disappointed that the last relationship didn't work. And I don't know if I deserve a shot at somebody new. And so I don't know how to treat you because I think that it must have been something that I must have did wrong. There's no way that I gave it my all. I gave it my fucking all, man. I said this is it. And then it didn't work. And that happens. And people have a right to change their mind. And it ain't always going to feel good when they change their mind. And so I put up this armor, man. I'm telling you, I put an armor up. I wouldn't let nobody in. I'm just going to be friends with people and shit. Don't fuck, stay away from me. Don't be trying to talk too cute and shit. No crafty shit. Don't put layers. Just be fucking real with me and shit. Don't put no layers on top of that shit. I don't got time for that shit. I can't fuck with you. You know what they do? So you get the ones and they keep trying and trying, man, because they value relationships and they know that you're somebody of value and shit. And they believe more about you than you believe about yourself. And you're stuck in the triangle and shit. And they got freedom and all they want to do is throw the life preserver in, man, and just bring you on out, but you don't want to be free. You don't want to be free. You know, freedom is a choice. You don't have to be free if you don't want to be. You can choose your captor. You can choose them. They can look just like you want them to look. They can smell just like you want them to smell. They can sound just right. But even when you're a captive, because you're imprisoned in your own belief system, you still have a wall up.
Say that.
That's why being in prison doesn't hurt so much. Physically, because you've already imprisoned yourself mentally and spiritually. Makes it easy. And you get people and they want to call you and they want to share with you and shit. I don't know. I don't think we understand the power of the sharing experience in this fellowship. You know what I mean? When people take risk on you and share with you what they're going through and crying with you and they just listen, when you become the shoulder for somebody else to cry on, it starts to chink at your armor. Yeah. And the honesty that other people share with you give you more courage to get honest about what you're going through. And some way in there, you know what I mean, your honesty starts getting connected to your truth. And it's nothing better than to be able to come in a meeting, man, with your head up and leave the same way after you just told the truth on yourself and it wasn't pretty. I let somebody get all close, man. Man, right through the freaking armor. I was like, fuck that. You know what? I ain't signed on for that shit. And no, for real. You know, and I'm talking about just the friendships and the relationships we build. And then you let somebody in. I was talking to a friend of mine last night, and they were talking about how they had developed a relationship with somebody, and they was always there for them. And then they got real close, and then the other person kind of changed their mind without really letting them know they changed their mind. They just kind of was gone. And so what happens is the same thing the Lord describes, is that the reason why it's important to talk to the people instead of just walking away and abandoning relationships, because you leave the other person wondering whether or not it was something that they'd done. All right, and maybe that don't mean anything to you. I'm standing here in front of you telling you that I know exactly how it feels to be like the one that's kind of feeling like, is it something that, like, maybe I could have did something different. Maybe I was too aggressive. Maybe I could have said something a little different. A couple more compliments, maybe. Rub your face a little bit or something. Like, I don't know because it just seemed like it didn't work. And so I won't be able to, like, tell you exactly the exact nature of what it was, because I think that you'll look at me and you'll start to judge me. And I'm afraid that if I tell you the truth, you still won't be my friend. See, that's what happens in here. When we place unrealistic expectations on other people after they've already placed unrealistic expectations on themselves.
Well,
yep. See, I'm just trying to get healthy in here. Look, I ain't come to play. You know what I mean? I don't got a whole lot of other shit. You know what I mean? It's a lot of cute stuff we could talk about. I ain't have no skills when I got here, and somebody had to teach me how to do the simple stuff. And I thought, you know what I mean, I thought I knew what it was like. And coming out of my shell, I thought that I knew what it was like to do stuff. Now, look, this might really seem simple to you, but, like, simple stuff. Like, I know what dating is all about. And ain't dating the thing you do when you treating there's a fucking happy ending? I mean, there's got to be a happy ending or something. And so I don't know better. And so what happens is that a person who loved themselves enough to care about me decided to teach me how to do stuff like that. And so what she did was she said, "Wim, you're going to take me out." And I thought she liked me because she said I was taking her out. And so I showed up and I blew the horn. I'm the only fucking one that, listen, I blew the horn and they ignored me. Let the car run and jump out the car, run to the door like, "Damn, you ain't hear the horn blowing." They said, "You don't blow the fucking horn. You supposed to get out the car. You understand? Come to the door. Knock on the door. And what you bring me anyway?" Because I didn't know I was supposed to bring nothing. They said it's a store down the street. They got flowers in a bucket. You need to go get one of them things. Just one. Bring it back. Park the car. Turn it off. Come knock on the door. Put a smile on your face like you're happy to be in this motherfucker. So I go, right? Because I think she liked me. And I think there's supposed to be a happy ending. I don't go because it's the right thing to do, because I'm following direction for the sake of following direction. I'm following it because you're telling me what I need to do, I think, to get what I think I came to get. Because when you're in the triangle, you become focused on only your own selfish needs. Go to the corner store. It was a freaking, you know, one of them little cheap gas station joints. You know what I'm talking about. And I go in, I get in the bucket. I don't really pay attention. There's no water in the bucket. I don't know that. I get there. I take the flower back. It's a pair of panties and shit. I'm just saying. Because I don't know that it's not a flower because I'm focused. I'm in a triangle focusing on my own selfish needs. Got the wrong shit, boo. Got the wrong shit. Come out, they come out, I go in the door, you know what I mean? I run around, go to jump in the car and shit. I start the car up, I look over, the door's unlocked, they're still standing outside the car. Why are you standing outside the fucking car? I roll the window down, what you waiting for? What you waiting for? Triangle. Just says you need to get out here and open the door. I didn't know you were supposed to open the door. Absolutely. I thought if you open the door the first time, you'd be starting some shit that you got to continue on throughout the relationship. I don't want to start no shit I can't make a commitment to, is what I'm saying. Fuck that, I got a door with a beeper and shit. Bleep, bleep, we can both get in, is what I'm saying. But that ain't what I did then, because I'm trying to get healthy, is what I'm saying. Get out the car, run around the car, open the car, let them in, close the door and shit. Think to myself, this is some bullshit. Run around, get back in the car, take off, do the thing, have a great fucking time and shit. Realize that I like them, realize that they really like me as a person, that they were never going to be any more than my friend. But for real, because I took them out and I bought something, I'm supposed to have the happy ending, and there's only one possible happy ending for me. I don't want to give up what I believe and what I think, because it says even here, it says we've gained things and we care that we care about and recovery, and we're afraid that we'll lose what we have, and so we begin compromising our principles to protect it. And so what happens is that, so then when I get caught up in the thing and I think that I need to do what I think I need to do to get what I think that I need to have, then like what happens is that I become closed-minded regardless of how much clean time I have, and I start doing stuff. I develop a focus, you understand, and I get blinders on and only see what it is that I see, and it doesn't really matter what you look like, it doesn't really matter what you say, it doesn't really matter what you got, you know what I mean? None of that shit matters. When I'm stuck. Yeah. So we go home and I drop her off and, you know, and I figured it out that I'm supposed to get out and open the door and shit. And so I park and turn the car off and run around. I'm running. I'm focused. And I open the door and bring him up to the door. And you understand what I'm saying? And I done put my keys in my pocket because I ain't going to need them for a while is what I'm saying. And they kissed me on the cheek. And they said, I love you and I had a really good time. You're really good company. And they went in and they closed the door. And I thought that was part of the lesson. I was waiting for them to open the door back up. But they didn't. Because we got to find out that when we share good information with newcomers, we have to give it to them in digestible pieces. We have to give it to them in such a way that they can hold on to it and it'll sustain them. So sometimes what you got to do with our new babies, we got to share stuff with them that's practical. Absolutely. Stuff that they can digest so that they don't sit in the meeting and get totally overwhelmed with our information and our good sharing, recovering 12-step member asses. I'm sharing with you, man, that somebody took a vested interest in me. When I was stuck in my own beliefs and stuff, I'm telling you, when you said the second step that the problem with addicts is that they tend to live based on what they believe, what that says, that I got introduced to my fractured belief system in the second step. And when I got to the third step, what I turned over was my fractured belief system because I couldn't do the honest self-assessment I needed to do in my fourth step with my belief system. So I gave y'all that. I left that with the God of understanding that I got introduced to. And then I went on and I did all the work. And then I got to the sixth step and he gave me my fractured belief system back with all that shit I had found out about me. And so I was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And couldn't see myself coming. You can get like that with years clean. See, here I am, man, this thing, man, that you find out that you can almost see in a person's eyes. Listen, I had heard this story once, and it really kind of blew my mind, man, because it kind of put me in a mindset of sometimes what we're not careful of, how we can allow stuff like this to happen in here. And the guy said that sometimes you can go to a zoo and you can look in an animal's eyes and it could be a lion, it could be a bear, it could be any wonderful wildlife creature. You can look in his eyes and something happens and you can look at it and see that it's broken. Yeah. Its spirit has been broken. Yeah. It has forgotten what it feels like to be free. So sometimes when you share certain information in a certain kind of way in here, what you do is you start to program the members that are in here that are new to believe and only act as if you do when we say we do, you should do in this process. And what you don't do is teach them what it should feel like to be free. So then addicts, what happens is that they no longer have the ability to function as real men and women when they leave the meetings because they're crazy as hell in them. So the same thing happens in the eyes of the many addicts sometimes in our room. Sometimes you can go in a room and you can watch people and the meeting will be open and the sharing experience can be happening and everybody's afraid to raise their hand because nobody want to get honest because nobody realizes that the only way you get our freedom is the sharing experience. The only way out of the triangle of self-obsession is to get honest. And get honest till you can tell the truth. And make sure that you can see yourself coming. Absolutely. So the next time you jump out the bushes on you, you don't have so much at stake. Wow. And the old you might just give you a hug and keep it moving because it understand that what you got, it can't handle. Woo. So look, man, I'm grateful to the Chesapeake and Potomac region for allowing me an opportunity to feel with y'all. You understand, not so much to carry the message, but to share with y'all. You understand, and to feel okay with being vulnerable with y'all. You understand, and understand that my vulnerability gives me more value. Absolutely. You understand, because I understand in this program that real men do cry. And if you're a man and you can't cry, then what you're saying is if you don't have the ability to cry enough to free yourself, you're no good to anybody else. So I'm grateful. Grateful to be here. So I want to thank the region, my home group, the Ultimate Weapon home group, and that one from New York too, and all my friends that showed up in Camden and Philly and New York and D.C. and Virginia and look, wherever you Dayton, Ohio and Columbus, Ohio and Cincinnati, Ohio and look, and Baltimore and who? We not fooling with the Salisbury people. Unless you're in the audience, we love you, but we ain't fooling with him. I'm Agnew William. I keep coming back.